DW.
In Signagi, a small town in rural eastern Georgia, priests still climb the clock tower of the historic church every hour to toll the bell. The picturesque town, with its old roofed houses surrounded by the majestic snow-topped Caucasus Mountains, looks much like the towns envisioned in European fairy tales. The region is well known for its lush, fertile land, and Georgian farmers have been tilling here for centuries. But over the past 5 years, an increasing number of migrants from South Asia have come to cultivate here as well, with farmers from India's Punjab state leading the way.
In whole world, everybody knows that Punjab, our state, is popular for agriculture business and farmers.
The standard of living here is good. Nature is good. It's not as polluted as back in India. The air is good, as long as the government is supportive of us and our work and keeps us well, all is good.
26-year-old Ravneet Khan and his father, Balraj Singh Khan, moved to rural Georgia back in 2012 after an aggressive campaign by the Georgian government to lure those with money and agricultural knowledge to the country. And they're not the only ones.
So how did you come to know about Georgia?
From the TV channels.
Yadwinder also moved to Georgia in 2012 following the campaign, which brought roughly 2,000 Indians to this tiny European country.
Hello, this is my friend Gia.
But unlike most of the Indian farmers who opted for traditional wheat or cornfields, Yadwinder bought vineyards.
We have grapes, black grapes here. It's called Saphirab in Georgian. Very expensive, more than white grapes. They are giving good money. Everybody said these grapes are very good here. So we choose this thing.
Yadwinder took the leap into a crop he had no previous experience with. With land prices a fraction of what they are back home in India, these farmers moved to rural Georgia to start or expand their economic opportunities. But it's been a challenging journey, says Ravneet.
In first year, I bought land in 2012, and I made all operations and sold the land. And when I get the crop, the expenses were more than the income. So I thought that I must try in future and let's see what's going to happen.
Despite Georgia's abundance of fertile land, even local Georgian farmers say they have limited ability to develop the land. Agriculture makes up less than 10% of the country's GDP and leaves it dependent on imports for more than 80% of its food. That's something Raul Babunashvili, the president of the Georgian Farmers Union, criticizes.
The agricultural sector in Georgia is not developed in a way that complies with world-class standards. We are lagging behind in many fields, such as livestock, because agricultural cooperatives and large-scale farming have not been developed. Farmers are not aware of what to produce or what kind of crop they should cultivate.
Local farmers like Otar Javashvili say the problem is a lack of government support.
Being a farmer in Georgia is difficult because you can't rely on anybody. You produce using your own money. The government once provided us loans at an 8% interest rate, but later it was stopped.
For some of the local farmers, this has resulted in unease towards their new Indian neighbors. Here's Abram Mejdilishvili.
It is better for Georgians rather than Indians to cultivate Georgian land. We are a small nation. We should be given equipment and seeds so we have the opportunity to cultivate our own land. Foreigners must be driven out of here.
And sentiment like this can be felt by the Indian farmers. Gupreet Singh moved to Georgia 6 years ago and says he experienced difficulties at the beginning.
When I first got here, I was seen a little differently because of my religion. My religion is Sikh. There were no Sikhs here. It was new, so initially people were a bit wary.
This influx of foreign farmers certainly came as a shock to many locals. Worried about the migrants' impact on their livelihoods, some even took to the streets. Mr. Babunashvili from the Georgian Farmers Union says that locals weren't involved in the decision to attract foreign farmers.
At the beginning, the local population was not asked what they thought about selling land to foreigners. The process went on without their participation. Locals were afraid of losing their own plots of land.
This created a lot of difficulties for the new arrivals, says Indian farmer Ravneet.
First, there were a couple of Indians. They welcomed us, and then a huge wave. So the local people got scared.
Do you feel uncomfortable?
Yes.
As a result, more than 50 families returned to India. Since then, things have improved, though. The Indian farmers who remained have managed to integrate. Many of them have learned the Georgian language and have hired local Georgians to sow and plow the fields. This has helped provide much-needed jobs. The Kong family has also become quite well known in the community for offering small interest-free loans.
And they always pay you back?
Yeah, always pay you back. Nice people.
I love everybody.
And they all love you too?
Yes.
Local crop production by either Georgian or Indian farmers has undercut the high import costs the country pays for agricultural goods, which has helped many. And with relations improving, some Indians have even gone on to marry and have children with Georgian women. In the end, it looks like the colorful turbans are here to stay.
I will always miss my India, but I have warmed up to this place now. I don't feel like leaving. It feels like home now. I'd like to stay here.
It may be unconventional, but this globalization of farming is redefining the sector and unleashing the potential this lush, picturesque country has to offer. Natalie Carney for DW in Eastern Georgia.
DW.